Welcome back to Sports Byline USA, coast to coast, border to border, and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. You know, over the years, how much we've loved Sketchfest and having the performers come in studio, and I like going to all the venues. And of course, COVID ruined that, but only to a certain extent, because as we've been speaking with a lot of the performers in Festpocalypse, that is coming up on Saturday, and you can just look at the amazing list of guests at sfsketchfest.com. And in fact, my next guest is a perfect guy for me to poop on.
Why? All right, how dare you?
Did I catch you off guard, Robert Smigel, or did you see that coming?
No, I've never, no one's ever done that to me. No one has ever complimented me and then pulled a horrendously cruel switcheroo like that. Where did this? I'm completely thrown now.
I'll regroup. You won't see Robert's name on the list, but you will see Triumph the Insult Comic Dog, which is just one of his myriad creations. When you first did Triumph, you did it on Conan first, right?
Yes. It's completely, it became famous, if you can call that famous, on the Conan show. I did it there. Oh my God, it's like 1997 was the first time I did it. It's been that long. And I did it there as a spinoff from a bit I used to do. When I was the head writer, the original head writer there, I came up with a bit where Westminster dog champions would come on and display their talents, on a puppet stage. And my wife had found these incredibly realistic dog puppets that she bought me for my birthday that year. And so there were all these different talents that dogs had, like singing the theme from The Bodyguard, or, you know, dueling banjos, or playing, one dog was a magician that cut another dog in half. We would bring these back every year. We were starting to run out of ideas. That we got to the point where it was like a dog that lights its own farts, a dog that has that does Jack Nicholson impersonations and, like, you know, takes his paw and puts it over his forehead, like in that hacky way people used to imitate Jack Nicholson. And of course, yeah, they all had Eastern European accents, because that's just the way in my mind growing up the dogs talked. And it wasn't until like 4 years into the show that I like had the idea for an insult comic as one of the competitors. And, it just happened by accident that day. I had the idea in the shower, and then by the end of the day, we had done it.
And it is—it's now a legend. That show—we're about the same age. You're a little bit older than me, but that show was so creative. And I remember that, you know, Andy's sister that lived under the stairs turned out to be Amy Poehler, and you doing the lips of whoever it was, and it seemed like would always. Always do that same Smigel voice for all the lip characters.
I like to think that I was doing impressions. I called myself an imprecisionist, but I was trying to do the impression, but sort of inspired by Dana Carvey, the way he's clearly having fun and being playful with the impression and creating a caricature as much as an impression. But, you know, so I did everyone from Bill Clinton and Bill Cosby in the early years, and Don King I used to do a lot, and Bob Dole. And then it became like Schwarzenegger and George Bush and Donald Trump, even with like a recurring impression in the 2000s.
That just reminded me, didn't you say as Dole, I got World War II in my pants?
Absolutely. Yes. And I would take every little hook that I could find way too far. So with Bob Dole, his thing was Bob Dole. He wouldn't refer to himself as anything but third person. And so it just got to the point where it was like, okie dolie, like every other word out of his mouth was Dole. It was the single most fun character I ever did was on the show, even more than Triumph to me. I had more fun doing Bob
That's
Dole.
Great stuff. Speaking of Dana Carvey, when he did his own show and he snatched you away from SNL, I love that show. And, you know, Colbert and, or I should say Colbert and Carell, Like Colbert says his whole career was made because someone saw him do that sketch where they were sort of barfing as they described the specials, you know, as the waiters.
That's exactly true. So Colbert was somebody that I had wanted to hire since I'd seen him when I was a writer at SNL. I got to become a producer at some point that I would go and help when Lorne Michaels would fly to Chicago to look at talent. And one night we went to Second City, and we were there primarily to see Steve Carell, who was the talk of the town. And Steve Carell wasn't there that night. He had an audition. He, you know, he actually got a job for a Brown's Chicken commercial, and he couldn't get out of it, so he missed out on Lorne Michaels being him. So we were there a little deflated and watched the show. It was a very funny show anyway. And Steve Carell's understudy, I remember at the end of the night, after he had done a lot of funny, after the, they do a scripted show and then they do improv sketches afterward. They have an improv set. And Stephen Colbert was so, he was the understudy, and he was so incredibly dry and funny, both on the show, but especially in the improv set, that he was the one that I singled out. And he didn't get for so, I don't know, he didn't get to audition for SNL, but I kept him in my head. I had Conan meet him when Conan got his show. We couldn't quite figure out a role for him on that show. And then Dana Carvey, I left Conan, and for a couple of years I was just on my own. And then I did the Dana Carvey show in 1996, and Colbert, again, this time Colbert wasn't available to audition. So he just sent in a tape of him crying and pleading for a job and holding up his newborn baby. And it was funny, but it didn't demonstrate any kind of versatility to be a sketch player. So I just told Dana Carvey, can we just fly him in and just see, because he's really funny. And so we did. And then his live audition for us was phenomenal. And so he did a sketch with Steve Carell on the show called Waiters Who Were Nauseated by Food, which was one of the funniest sketches we did all year. And all year, what am I saying? The show lasted 8 weeks. All weeks. It was one of the best sketches we did all weeks. And and Steve, and yes, Madeline Smithberg, who was producing The Daily Show at that point, saw the sketch and wanted Colbert for her show based on that. So, yeah, in a roundabout way, I'm entirely responsible for that man's life.
We're speaking with Robert Smigel. He's at Festpocalypse coming up here Saturday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 on the East Coast. Couple more questions for Robert. You mentioned Chicago and near and dear to you and your time.
The best, coming. My favorite city.
Yeah, and, you know, of course, the Bill Swirsky sketch. You were in that with Farley and Wendt. But I want to ask you about Bob Odenkirk, because he's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And years ago, I had the pleasure at Sketchfest, Dana Gould, who I got to know, he took me backstage and he introduced me to Bob Odenkirk. And he goes, are you a stand-up? I go, no, I'm a radio host. He goes, all right, nice to meet you. And then I told that story, I'm name-dropping now again, but I told that story to Brian Posehn. And he said, oh, no, was he nice to you? He goes, he's famous for being a little rough around the edges when he meets people. Is that what you find from Odenkirk?
Not really, but, you know, I met Bob and worked with Bob as a peer. You know, everybody, there's a different dynamic to everyone. You know, I've learned this over the years. You know, you can't make snap judgments on people because they may behave one way in front of their boss, one way in front of their peers, one way in front of the people who are working, for them. It's very hard to, sometimes the only way to really know a person is to see how they interact with people other than you. You know what I mean? but my experience with Bob, I mean, Bob's one of my best friends, and he's a great guy. And I've, the only time Bob ever pushed anyone's buttons that I kind of noticed was when he was at SNL and he was a young writer there. He was the most talented person I knew in Chicago. So talented that at one point when I was there, I was like, I told my girlfriend, maybe I should just be a manager and manage Bob's career. This is like before I got SNL. And when I got SNL, Bob was the one person from Chicago that I pushed to get hired, and he did. But he never really connected with the show. He didn't have the same reverence for it that I did. And I think he had a more fully formed comedy personality than I did at the time. Like, I had gone through college and I was a pre-dental student, and then I just sort of experimented with this for a couple of years and got lucky and got hired. Bob had been writing and doing stand-up and developing his own persona for a longer period, and I don't think he really didn't get as many sketches on. And I think there was a part of him that enjoyed pushing people's buttons of like the head writers there, and kind of letting them know that he didn't think the show was quite as great as they thought it was. That's the closest thing I could tell you of an example of Bob, like, just and he said it in interviews that he said that he didn't really have a ton of reverence for the show at the time and feels different about it now. But, you know, it's he was in his like mid-20s when he got that show. It's really strange to, you know, jump into that environment at that age. You know, you're so unformed as a human being, and then you're thrown into like one of the most intense and competitive situations possible in show business. You know, it's an amazing job, but it's just very challenging because you're basically in direct competition with all these people that you're working with and love every week. On some level, you're in competition with them. Because they literally write 40 sketches a week and produce, you know, maybe 12 get on the air.
No doubt. And I should mention that the Mr. Show duo of David Cross and Bob Odenkirk will be part of Festpocalypse.
Yes, they will.
I could talk to you all day. Just one more question. I mentioned Curb, of which you got on as well. And I think about, you know, hearing the Larry David story about when whatever night it was, is it Tuesday night where you're supposed to stay at SNL all night? And he was getting into the elevator like at 9 p.m. and Lorne's like, where the hell are you going? He's like, I'm going home. I'm not staying here all night. So
I don't know that story. Larry didn't work for Lorne. Larry worked for Dick Ebersol, who was the producer during the 5 years that Lorne was gone. And Larry was very frustrated. He sort of had an even more frustrating time at the show than Odenkirk did. I mean, Odenkirk, for all the frustration he had there, he wrote the greatest character sketch in the history of the show. He didn't write it at SNL, but he wrote it for Second City. He wrote it for Chris Farley, who was, you know, he based it off sort of an attitude that Chris Farley was doing around the office, around the stage, you know, backstage in Chicago, and turned it into Matt Foley. Mm-hmm. Bob wrote that whole sketch, basically. And But getting back to the point, Larry David was even more frustrated at SNL. So there's a whole episode of Seinfeld that's based on Larry David quitting SNL and yelling at Dick Ebersol after an episode where his sketches got cut, and really poor, you know, just tearing into the producer and you know, cursing and saying, I'm never coming back. I'm done with this bullshit. And then walking home and realizing that he was insane for quitting, that he needed the money. And the only recourse he had in his mind was to just show up at work and act like it never happened.
That was George. Yeah, I
so
remember
that's
that.
What he did. He came back on Monday and acted like it never happened. And I think he got away with it. But there's a whole episode where Costanza does the same thing.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm being told I got a wrap, unfortunately.
Sure.
It is the great Robert Smigel, and he will be the man, as he always is, behind Triumph, the Insult Comic Dog, all part of Fespocalypse.
With Weird Al Yankovic. Tickets. Triumph and Weird Al Yankovic together.
Oh, great. With Weird Al as well. SFSketchfest.com. Robert, great having you on, man. Let's catch up down the road, please.
You got it. My pleasure.
All right. Great stuff. I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break, and we will come on back on Sports Violence.